You're listening to Straight Shooters, a straightforward golf podcast that'll straighten out your game. And here are your hosts, Keith Bennett and Henry Stettina.
Welcome back to the Straight Shooters Golf Podcast. I'm Henry Stettina, and I'm alongside Keith Bennett. And we have a great topic in store for you today as we prepare to embark on a multi-day journey to Orlando for the PGA's Teaching and Coaching Summit. We've got a few things we want to discuss today. Keith, how you doing today, buddy?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Just got some stuff to do around the house. Got some virtual lessons to take care of. And then obviously got to get ready to head to Orlando tomorrow morning and touch down around 5 o'clock. And then I'm looking forward to meeting up for dinner and catching up. It's probably been, what, I don't know how many years since we've actually gotten together. Probably coming up on 3 or 4 at least.
At least. I mean, I would say it's been more like maybe 5 or so, because the last time we saw each other face to face had to have been when you came down for that, for Ed's seminar, the last time that he did it.
I think that's right. Yeah. And then COVID, kids, moving. And then it's just, yeah, it's crazy how time flies by, man. I think you're absolutely right. So, yeah, this will be fun to just hang out for a couple of days, talk golf, talk life, and do some learning from this panel of golf instructors.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. You know, we really started connecting over the pandemic, talking every day for some time, and went through this virtual journey. You've taught me a ton about social media, and I'm extremely grateful for that. And I think it's kind of coming full circle, and we're really about to embark on some new things. And this is just going to be an awesome opportunity for us to get together and to learn and to interact with some of our peers and colleagues in the golf industry. So if our listeners aren't familiar, the PGA of America hosts a PGA merchandise show every January in Orlando. It's the world's largest golf expo and draws all the major manufacturers, small boutiques, golf professionals from all over the world, as well as celebrities and golf influencers. Every other year, just the days before the PGA merchandise show, is something called the PGA Teaching and Coaching Summit, which is when some of the top coaches and teachers in the golf industry are able to present and share their work and research and interact with hundreds of fellow colleagues who are teaching and coaching throughout the world. And so we're going to be able to interact with a lot of interesting and influential people and learn from some of the greatest minds in the game. And it kind of goes back to something that I learned early on. My father-in-law, who's a PGA professional and heavily focused in teaching and coaching, told me that if I wanted to be a good teacher, that I would need to be a good learner. And I've kept that with me from that day forward and sought out every aspect of learning and continuing education as I could. And Keith, I know you're probably one of the most well-read individuals that I know. I mean, you're always reading books. Many times they don't have anything to do with golf, but more about mindset. So let's kick it off by talking a little bit about lifelong learning, continuing education, and kind of your experience and passion for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and I don't even know where this came from. I mean, my mom was an avid reader. I saw her reading all the time. She was always doing continuing education as a teacher. You know, she got her master's degree and would go to take college courses every summer, you know, at a nearby college, and was always trying to further her expertise and further her knowledge in her field. So I'm sure watching her do that and watching her passion for, you know, not just doing her job, but trying to excel at her job and trying to be the absolute best version of her profession she could be, probably seeped into why I feel like that is something that I'm kind of drawn towards as well. I've just always had this mindset of, you know, wanting to know more, wanting to get better, feeling like I could always know something more within my field and learn from other people. I think that's kind of what's drawn me to reading. And more recently, I know, you know, I've talked to you about this in the past, but, you know, I'm a big podcast listener. I listen to tons and tons of podcasts. I mean, they're golf instructors, some of the most established, successful golf instructors on the planet have podcasts where they talk about what they know and how they got to where they are and their experiences. And I don't think we've ever been in a time quite like this where people are sharing their backgrounds and their knowledge so readily and so, you know, so open-doored. Everything used to be just if you had to wait for the Golf Digest magazine to come out to learn a little tidbit about what Butch Harmon was doing or what the David Ledbetter was doing. And now it's like a free-for-all. Everybody's just Instagram, podcast. So it's fantastic. And I think it's really, I know it's supercharged my learning and it's helped me to get to the point where I am now as quickly as I have. And I've seen how that continuing education mindset has helped me to really rise the ranks within the golf industry, but also attract clients and retain clients and help people out. Obviously, if people are coming back, that must mean I'm helping them. And so I see that happening firsthand. So it kind of encourages me more to continue on that journey always and to continue learning. And I'll reread the same books 2-3 times a year sometimes, because it's amazing how you'll forget some passages and I'll earmark some books and put some sticky notes and things, and I'll go back to my favorite passages because it's always good to brush up on stuff like that. So yeah, it's just something I really enjoyed, and I found it helps my career. So that also encourages you to do more of it.
Yeah. You know, I love hearing that because I've seen you do it and you've told me about it over the years, all the books that you've been reading and continue to reread and the podcast. And sometimes I was envious of you to have a long drive, a commute to work every day, because you got to do those podcasts and audio tapes. And you just hit something that I think is really important, in that you find a book that you like or a few books that you really like and find value in. And you said you reread them maybe multiple times per year. And, you know, it just makes me think about the way I've done it in the past, of almost wanting to read the book to say that I read the book versus actually reading it for the content and the understanding. And that's actually one of my daily routines, my New Year's resolutions, I guess you could say, for this year, is to learn to read for comprehension and using it as a way to improve my ability to focus on a task. I think that those good books could be viewed more as textbooks, things that we're going to refer back to from time to time, maybe quite often, because of the knowledge and information that's in them. Sometimes they have tasks for us to do, maybe making of lists or doing some kind of an experience that would connect to what is being discussed in the book. And if we skip those things, we're missing out on the point. And so like we've chatted about off air before, you know, a lot of times it's simply just doing the work that the person is writing about, because so many of those books are so similar.
Oh, 1,000%. And I think you just nailed a huge part for sure. And I've been totally guilty of this in the past. I think when I first got into, like, if you want to call it the self-help genre or whatever the case may be, and just kind of like the life improvement genre, I would just devour books and then get on to the next one. And I wouldn't actually work the steps that the book tells you to work. I mean, almost at the end of every chapter of one of those books, they're going to have a exercise or, hey, put the book down for 10 minutes and do this type thing. And I wouldn't actually do those put the book down for 10 minute exercises. So I wasn't actually doing the work. I was just reading the book and then I would move on to the next one. And then I wouldn't really, you know, take in that information. And I think I actually had to hear it from a podcast or someone, I can't remember where it came from, but kind of called out people who do that, right? Just kind of readers and not really doers of the action that the book is talking about. And that really definitely made me realize that I was falling under that same category. I felt accomplished because I was reading the books, but I wasn't actually changing any habits in my daily life because I wasn't taking the steps, the actions towards what the book was telling you to do. Now, I do think there's plenty of positivity to take away from reading those books because it does seep into your mindset, obviously, whether you know it or not or how much you retain from it. But I think the most important part is the work in the process of the book. So highlighting, putting sticky notes, earmarking books, coming back to these things. It's so amazing. I'll come back, like one of my favorite books is Extraordinary Golf by Fred Shoemaker. And I'll come back to that book in certain passages 3-4 times a year. And it's so funny because when I come back to the passage 6 months later, I have 6 more months of experience teaching, being a human, you know, playing golf. And now that passage like hits me differently than it did the first time I read it. And it makes more sense, or maybe I understand it more. And it's kind of cool to go see, almost see your mental progression take place. It's kind of almost like a nice benchmark to come back to see like, oh yeah, I'm growing, or I'm understanding this more now. And it's cool to see your growth in that way.
I couldn't agree more. I have a daily reader that has a short passage from a book and then this author's perspective on it. And there's just one passage per day and I read it. And I read it all of last year and it was very valuable. Now I've started it over again and man, it is 10 times more valuable. I mean, this grows exponentially. And this time around, I'm highlighting, I'm underlining, I'm really getting it more so than I did the first go around. So that's awesome. I also like something that you said regarding our parent, a parental influence, and your mom, you know, showing you the way through her example of continuing education and lifelong learning. I think sometimes, you know, as parents, we want our kids to do something and we recommend the studies or we recommend practice or eating correctly or whatever. But yet the real power is leading by example. And if we don't do that, our kids don't stand a chance in developing those habits. Yep. You know, one of the things I saw and learned from my parents was a work ethic. They both talked about working hard, but they both showed it as well. My mom always told me that she didn't care what I did. I could be a ditch digger for all she cared, but I better be the best ditch digger there was. She wanted to do the work well. And interestingly, today, last night, my daughter, my oldest daughter, she's having some mental breakdowns with things that are going on at school, you know, with the schoolwork, with her friends and the social dramas that take place. And we had a nice heart to heart. And as we finished, we went to bed. She has this little iPod that she can text on. And she texts me. She said, "Hey, Dad, thanks for the advice. Can you wake me up early tomorrow? And and we talk a little bit, and then you can teach me more about mindset." And I thought that was cool because she sees me reading and she sees me writing and journaling. And so, and she's seen the growth over the years. She hangs up those two marathon medals, and I asked her why in her room. And I asked her why, and she said, "Because I remember where you were, and now I can see where you're at, and those medals represent your growth." And I'm like, dang, man, she's only 8.
Right.
This is insane. And so we have to lead by example. So I love how you tied that in with the example your mom set for you.
Yeah, it's a really cool experience now having my own child who's, you know, a little over 14 months old. And I've been doing, you know, I've been doing some reading on the stages of child development and brain development and how their brains evolve at each, you know, landmark, each year, each category of life. And it's amazing how much they soak in even at, you know, this young a stage, whether they remember these moments like as core memories or not. it's still all, they take in so much information right now because all they can do is observe, and they take it all in. So it's kind of put me in check a little bit and say like, okay, you know, what do I want my son to observe me doing? What do I want my son to observe how I interact with my wife, how I interact with my dog, how I interact with other people? You know, that's all you don't, you think, oh, they're just so young, there's no way, but they take, when you read up on the brain and how the brain's developing, they take it all in. And it's kind of a cool, it's cool to put yourself in check and go, you know, kind of in all these moments, what do I want him seeing me doing? You know, what do I want to instill? What core values, what work ethic, what, you know, way of speaking to people do I want him to take in through osmosis? And I think it's a cool reminder of that. And then, you know, when you tie it back to how you've developed as a person because of what your parents did or how they acted, you can really see how powerful that's been, for sure.
Do you want to work one-on-one with either Henry or Keith? Well, you're in luck. Both Henry and Keith offer online lessons and monthly coaching subscriptions using the Skillist app. Online coaching allows you to learn at your own pace by digesting smaller chunks of information more frequently. Download Skillist, search for Henry or Keith, and get started today.
Yeah, I love it. You know, leading by example and really paving the way for those who come behind us. And as coaches, that's what we need to do as well for the players that we're influencing. And it's going to be hard for them to read books on golf and if we're not, and it's going to be hard for us to recommend that they practice if we're not doing those things ourselves. And so,
right.
Let's shift gears for a moment as we do prepare to head out to Florida for the weekend. I know you mentioned this will be your first time attending the Teaching and Coaching Summit in person. I know we both attended virtually the last time it was held during the pandemic, but tell us about kind of some of the things that you're looking forward to and planning on doing and seeing while you're there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I found value. So I went to last summer, I helped out at a golf school with Andrew Rice, Jeff Ritter, Jeff Bazalgette, and had an incredible time talking golf, talking life, just, you know, networking and just meeting other passionate professionals in the industry. I mean, everybody on this panel of speakers is about as passionate as they come about teaching, helping others, growing, you know, talk about continuing education. You know, this is the list that you and I want to be on someday, you know, speaking at one of these. So I think it's cool to go to these things and just see how these people comport themselves, talk to them, figure out how they got to where they're at, and just hang out with like-minded individuals. I don't think we as an industry get together often enough and just hang out in big groups with like-minded individuals and just feed off each other energy wise. And that really helps spark some creativity and spark some, you know, some motivation in you. So I think these events are fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing Hal Sutton speak. I'm a big fan of his podcast and how he approaches the game, the way he talks about it, his love for it, and now how he's transitioned from, you know, being one of the top professionals of his day to now being a coach. And I think that would be a really cool talk to hear. And hopefully I can speak to him one-on-one at some point and just express my gratitude for how open he's been of sharing his information and how inspiring that is for me to also do the same. So yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. What about you?
Yeah, I attended, I guess it must have been 4 years ago, the last time it was held in person, and Hal Sutton spoke, and he had about an hour long talk. And I can't even begin to tell you how powerful that moment was. I mean, you could hear a pin drop everyone was sucked into that conversation. He spoke with passion. He talked about his career on the tour and the challenges that he faced and how, you know, transitioning into becoming a coach and how his whole perspective is changing on the game. And obviously he's been very available for people to go see him and take lessons and learn from him, but also through podcasting and the various resources that are available in the digital world. So I'm definitely looking forward to that as well. You mentioned a name that kind of rung a bell for me. I don't know where I heard that name before. Jeff Ritter, where's that guy from?
Yeah, Jeff is in, he's in Bend, Oregon. So he's at Pronghorn Resort. And he's been there for, I think, not too long, maybe 3 or 4 years. But yeah, Jeff and I really connected and shared a, you know, we just kind of, it's one of those things where, you know, when you meet someone and like you instantly have a connection and you talk easily and you share stories and feel like you're fine kind of opening up a bit and being vulnerable with somebody. It was kind of a cool moment like that. And we both, you know, we just kind of sat outside under the stars one night and during the golf school and just kind of chatted about life and golf. And he shared his entire journey into the golf industry with me. You know, when he would drive up to the Golf Digest offices and just drop off articles that he had written, you know, just tens and tens of in hopes that they would pick one up and share it. And he hustled his ass off, just crazy. Just, you know, he made it happen. He wasn't going to wait around for someone to come to him. He made it happen and carved a career for himself. You know, top 100 instructor, great dude, really easy to connect with, just a good human in general. So it was fun chatting with him and it was cool to hear his story. And it definitely motivated me to, you know, get my own, you know, kick into gear myself. And, yeah, you know, I hope to cross paths with him here in the future and maybe he'll be at the show, but, yeah, just a great dude. We'll have to have him on the podcast at some point.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm sure he'll be there. I'm sure we'll cross paths and be able to chat. You know, I've heard a lot about him. Obviously, he's a graduate of the program, NMSU's PGA Golf Management Program. And Pat has told us a bunch of stories about the way he went about learning and while he was a student, seeking out information, picking people's brains, taking notes, traveling to Phoenix, traveling to places that he could, spending money on taking lessons from the top coaches in his area at wherever he ended up on internships. And, you know, he was all in from the beginning and he put in the work and he made the investment. And so it's neat to see someone that comes from our program make such a career of himself and be able to give back. You know, I mean, our program is truly a family. And when you meet a person like that and knowing that you both come from the same place, I'm sure really plays a part in being able to connect the way you guys did.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just kind of once you both come from the same PGM program, you instantly sort of bond right then and there. And it just makes that friendship click. And then we both had similar passions. I'm an ex snowboarder and he's really getting into snowboarding. It's like probably maybe he's more passionate about it than golf right now. That's why he loves living in Bend. He can snowboard in the mornings and then teach in the afternoons. So it was cool to bond on that and to talk about snowboarding and then golf and that's just a prime example of when you're around these like-minded individuals, you have way more in common with these people than you could even imagine. And then you form these friendships that last a long time. You know, like I think Jeff's maybe coming up on 50. I'm coming up on 32, right? There's a 20-year age gap between us, but like you'd never know it. And I think that's what's really cool about stuff like this is doesn't matter the age, we're all just passionate about the game and coaching and doing it at the highest level that we're capable of doing it. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. You asked kind of my take on what I was looking forward to, and I really didn't have an answer at first for you. I've kind of thought about it since then, and I think there's a couple of ways that I want to go with it. You know, one, I know a handful of the individuals or have met some of them. I've been able to interact with some of them more so than others. And so I'm really interested to see those individuals who I'm familiar with, who I know personally, present on the biggest stage. see how they handle it and kind of maybe follow up with them afterwards and see how that experience was for them. The other thing, you know, there's a few doctors, professors, researchers who will be presenting. And being that I'm pursuing a doctorate in kinesiology, I think that, you know, I'm intrigued to see some of their work, maybe kind of take it in on a different level this time around. I'm also intrigued to see how Joe Hallett MCs the event. He's a huge mentor in the golf industry, a role model of mine. He comes to our town usually once or twice a semester to host seminars conducted by the PGA of America. So that'll be really neat to see how he handles that stage as well. And I'm not a big note taker. At one time I was, I would try to write down as much as I could, but I found out two things that it was doing negatively for me. Number one, I would write notes and I would be missing out on what was being said next. And two, I would never go back and review my notes. And so I don't do that. I haven't done that in quite some time. This time, now that you asked the question, I'm looking at the lineup of presenters. My goal is to have taken one note from each presentation, to take away one little nugget that maybe I can incorporate or think about or do differently that might help me in my career. I think that would be an enormous value and money well spent on making this trip.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to steal that from you. And maybe we can compare notes at the end of each day and kind of reflect on at dinner about the speakers and what we enjoyed and what we would want to incorporate in our own teaching and lives. And I think it'll actually be the reflection afterward, you know, getting together and chatting about it at dinner that will maybe even be the most valuable part. And I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to reporting back to everybody after the show and letting everybody know how it went and what we learned. And I'm sure it'll be a podcast chock full of like we said, nuggets and valuable insights and takeaways. So yeah, buddy, I'll see you tomorrow evening for dinner.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a few current PGA students with us. I'm looking forward to those dinners and chats from learning from you and interacting and then sharing our opinions with them. This episode is actually going to go out on Monday. And so we will be at the summit as this episode is released, but we will be back the following week to share with our listeners what we learned and what this experience was like. And so I can't wait, man. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon, and it's going to be an awesome time. I'm looking forward to catching up.
Yeah, buddy, me too. All right, be well and travel safe.
Same to you, man. Take care.